Go, let's learn. Up there, Revi, Parsha Shoftim, Revi, Bechirva Levi. Me'achad Sha'anecha, this is you, Mayor, the Levi. Okay, this is you, Bechirva Halevi, Me'achad Sha'anecha, Mikol Yisrael, Ashahu Gorsham, Uvo, Bechol Avis Nafshay, Elamakam Ashayifra Hashem. The Levi will come. The Levi wants to come and minister in the Beis HaMikdash, and he wants to go do his services. What does the Levi do? Is this a coin or a Levi? When you have a Levi, there's not a Levi, I'm sorry. When it says the word Levi, I'm sorry, Mayor, it's not you. It's referring to Kohanim. Rashi says, Beferish over here, because it says Vishayres. Levim is a very interesting Rashi. Rashi types that the word Sherus in Chumash only means bringing Korbanos. It does not include the Shira, and does not include the Shemira. It includes the Kabbanas. So one of the Levi got me achad shorech, one of your gates. Nikoli Yisrael, Asheru Gershav, Buvoni comes, Bechol Avas Nafshoi, his desire, El HaMakom Asher Yifchar Hashem, Rashi, Pasik Vav, Perik Yudches, Pasik Vav, Uva, Kirov HaLevi, Yachal Ben Levi, Vaday HaKosim Dabert, HaMolem HaShereis, Yatsu Levim She'en Ru'uyim L'Sheiros. So we're dealing over here specifically with who? We're dealing over here with Kohanim. What is it in the Targum? Varei, Yesei Leva'o, a Levi will come, Mechado Mikirvav, one of your cities, Nikol Yisrael, to Dor Tamani lives there, the Yesei, he will come, Bechol Ru'us Nafshe, Ru'us means desire, of his Neshama, La'asra, to the place, the Yisrae Hashem, that Hashem has selected. And there's a very interesting, I think it's very interesting a lot, but over here, it's almost according to the Targum, it's almost like a play on the word. No, I don't know. Is it or is it not? Is the Targum translating the word Asher Yivchar Hashem with the same translation as the word Bechol Avas Nafshoi? We always say this in the Shir, is that Rashi is coming to simplify a simple language. The Targum always does this. He takes a very small language and he makes it even smaller. He takes two words, which seemingly are completely different words, with two different roots, two different, everything about them is different, and the Targum translates the two words exactly the same. He's simplifying an already simple language. There are two words here, B'chol Avas Nafshay, the Kohen has a desire. He wants to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. He wants to be the person who brings the Korban. Avas Nafshay. And so he will come to the place Asher Yivchar Hashem, to the place that Hashem desires. So the word Yivchar, Hashem also has an Avas Nafshay. And the Kohen has an Avas Nafshay. Matza min esminoi. Each one found the other. Each one found each other. The Levi, And he has a desire, and the Beis HaMikdash is the location that Hashem has a desire to dwell in. It would seem, if not for the Targum, we would never even appreciate that point. That there's like a Matzim and a Sminoi, both of them are back to back, because the Targum seems to translate both of these words the same. Bechol Re'us Nafshe, the Kohen comes with this full desire. Where does he come? He comes la'asra, to the place, the Yisra'e Hashem, that Hashem has a desire. It's the same word. It's the Reish Ayin. It's the same word. And the Targum is translating the word Yivchar and the word Avas identically. Same word. Haloi Dover. That's a point that has to be appreciated. Okay, let's now see the commentator. What is the commentator say about Pasik Vav, if he does comment at all, Pasik Vav, Mechado Mikirvach, Targum Kilu Loshna Kosim Meachad Sharecha, Vula, that's not unless Oisamem Shemila Meachad, Museres Kamal Muda Sharecha. All right, whatever. I don't know. Let's go further. Pasik Zayin, Vishereis, he will minister, to serve, Vishem Hashem Elokov, Kichol Echav Halavim, like all of his brethren. His brethren, the Levim, Ha'endim Shom Lefnei Hashem, like all of his brethren that stand there before Hashem. And what does that mean? Zayin v'sheres limeid ala koyin sheba umakiv karbonos nidvasoi. Okay, he's in sheres. He's coming to teach on the koyin. What is the teaching about the koyin? Sheba umakiv karbonos nidvasoi oy choyvasoi v'afilu b'mishmar she'en shaloi. First interpretation. We do know. Is that the Kohanim were divided into 24 Mishmaros, 24 separate groups, and they rotated. Each week, a Mishmar came to Yerushalayim, they'd settle down, and they did the service. So basically, each Mishmar only showed up in the Mikdash 2 weeks a year. 24 multiplied by 2 is 48, there are about 50 to 54 weeks in the year. So that means that the Kohanim only served 2 weeks, each Koyein was part of a Mishmar. There were 24 Mishmaros. There was a rotation. That means 2 weeks a year did the Kohanim serve in the Beis HaMikdash. And even those 2 weeks a year which they served, each Mishmar was in turn divided into six groups. So each Mishmar only served on one day. Each Koyein only served on one day of that week. So Kohen's job was basically he worked 2 days a year. Not bad. 2 days a year. That was the job of a Kohen. He worked 2 days a year. Truth is, we know that the whole year you had to prepare. Okay, there's a whole story. What did he do the rest of the year? He wasn't a free man. The rest of the year he had to be a holy person, which meant he had to prepare. He had other services to serve Klal Yisrael the rest of the year. But basically 2 days a year. Let's say it's not his week. Let's say his week is not for another 10 weeks, and now he has to bring a korban. He was machalal Shabbos b'shoigeg, and he needs to bring a korban chatos. So what does he do? He comes to the Beis HaMikdash to bring the korban chatos. It's not his week. He pulls out his card. I am a kohen. I'll take care of myself. I will bring the korban. I don't need your help. I don't need another kohen to go and do the avoda for me. I can bring the carbon myself because I am a kohen. Or let's say he wants to bring a gift, he wants to bring a carbon oila, a carbon nedava. Likewise, he can do it himself. He can tell the kohen who is on duty on that day, step aside. I know today is your day. I know it's the mishmar and you're working, but I'm also a kohen. And the law is a kohen can come to the Beis HaMikdash any day a year and bring his personal korbanos. The reason why there are mishmaros is for Kohanim to bring the korbanos of Yisrael and of other people. But a Kohen himself can come whenever he wants and can bring his own korban. That is what this pasuk. That is the purpose of this pasuk. The purpose of this pasuk is to teach you that v'sheres v'shem Hashem lokav v'kicholechav alavim hagdim shem lufnei Hashem. When it says it with Levi in this pasuk, it refers to a Kohen. That's the first shot in Rashi. Limeid ala koyin shabo makib karbonos nidvasai oy chayvasai afilu b'mishmar she'ena shaloi. Period. Davar acher, a second interpretation. Oy limeid ala koyin maboim l'regel shemakrivin b'mishmar v'oyvdim b'karbonos habos machmas ha'regel v'goyim musfei ha'regel v'yahabi she'ena mishmar shalohem. Even for the tzibur, meaning 3 times a year, according to Rashi's second interpretation, we are discussing the rules of the Shalosh Regalim. During the Shalosh Regalim, even though on the schedule, it says that the Mishmar belongs to this group, doesn't matter. Any Kohen from any Mishmar is entitled to arrive on the scene and say, step aside, I am also a Kohen, I want to participate in the Korbanos of the Yom Tov. So two different halachas are being taught to us from this pasuk. That's how Rashi learns. What is it in the Targum? Pasuk Zayin Vishamesh Bishma de Hashem Elokei Gichol Achai Levoi, like all of his brethren, the Kohanim, Dim Shamshin Taman, that serve there, Kodom Hashem. What is over here in the commentator? Pasuk Zion. Let's see any comment. Dim sham shinam sharsim. Kosav iyun atvilim of erish brach bruchsa shayotza. Kolosh rabidu namchubim shem panim. Going lamur lufanecha. Yoyre alamida sasherus veho avdus veho avoy dois. Okay, so here he's saying something over here. Ha'indim sham lufnei. Over here, the commentator on the bottom of the page, it's not really related to the pasuk. He's telling us a chidush nifle, and that is, he's comparing this pasuk to the brach of Asher Yotzar that we recite almost every day, multiple times. Asher Yotzar is done chokhma uvaravo, nikavim nikavim chalulim chalulim goluy v'yodu al lifnei chisei chivadecha sh'im yiposech echad mehem o yisosei echad mehem iefshar lehiskayim. The next two words are critical. V'la'amod lefonecha. What do those two words mean? If chas v'shalom, there is a malfunction in our body, if there is something that's supposed to be open and it's closed, or something that's supposed to be closed and it's opened, we can no longer cease to exist. We will cease to exist. We can no longer exist. It's e'efshar lehiskayim. We can no longer be hiskayim. V'la'amod lefonecha. Now, what does that mean? Let it just say in the bracha, "Eifshar lehiskayim v'la'amod." Period. Baruch Atah Hashem, Rofei Chol Basar, Mafli La'asais. Why does it say in the bracha of Asher Yotzar, "La'amod lefonecha"? The simple meaning of the word "la'amod" means to exist, to stand, to endure. You want to say it means to physically stand. You want to means to exist, to endure, to whatever, to live. Isn't that what the word lamod means? Along comes the commentator here, and he says, the composer of the nusach of Asher Yotzar extracted the nusach from this pasuk that is written concerning the Kohanim. And in this pasuk, it says the word la'amod, and it says the word, the ponim of Hashem. V'shereis, v'shem Hashem alukav kol echav alavim ha'omdim sham, ha'omdim sham, who stand there, lifnei Hashem. And here, when they're sitting lifnei Hashem, what are they doing? It doesn't just mean they're standing, they're serving. They're serving Hashem in the capacity of a servant, of avodas Hashem. Therefore, when you make a person makes a bracha of Asher Yotzar, you're not just saying to Hashem, you know, if not for the fact that my body is functioning, I would not be able to, it doesn't mean I wouldn't be able to exist. I would not be able to serve you. La'amod lefonecha, you're not thanking Hashem for living. Just to live and eat and drink and enjoy yourself, that's not living. That's not why you make the bracha of Asher Yotzar. The purpose of making the bracha of Asher Yotzar is to thank Hashem and to acknowledge that you need the body to function so that you're able to engage in avodas Hashem, in davening, in learning, in gemilas chasadim, in all of those things that fit into the category of avodas Hashem, la'amod lefonecha. How do you know that's what it means? Because it doesn't just say la'amod, it says la'amod lefonecha. And in this pasuk, it says la'amod. It says la'amod. Who's calling over here? I'll call you back. It says over here la'amod lefonecha. Okay, it says over here la'amod lefonecha. Okay, so this is what it says over here in the very. So that is a very beautiful pshat. Very, it was kedai for me at least to come here today to learn this. Sami de mishamshin tamon kodam Hashem. What a pshat! The makar of the bracha of Asher Yotzar, in a little teeny letters that are so small on the bottom of the page over here. Who would imagine you'd find a gold mine to a pshat? A depth of pshat in the bracha of Asher Yotzar that we say every day. I gotta add this to my siddur. Write this word into my siddur. Say this bracha every single day so many times. Where does the bracha come from? It comes from a pasuk in Parashat Shoftim. Who would imagine? Who would imagine the combination of these two words? Okay. Now we come over here to the next pasuk. Chelek yechelek yechelu levad mim karav al ha'avos. What does that mean? Chelek yechelek yechelu. The kohanim will have a portion, but chelek yechelek. Besides, mim karav, what they sold al ha'avos, they sold al to or relating to the fathers. What does that mean? What do those words mean? So Rashi tells us. Rashi elaborates. Chelek yechelek yechelu. Melamed, shacholkim ba'oyres ubebasar si'irei chatois. When they come on the regel, the shalosh regalim, even though it is not their mishmar, it's not their mishmar, doesn't matter, they get to divide all the from the hides. Because the halach is who gets the hides of the korbanos, the kohanim, who get also the basar of kodshei kodashim, who gets to eat the basar of the kodshei kodashim, the kohanim. Ordinarily, it's the kohanim who are on duty, who are joining for that their mishmar. But kohanim that are not on duty that week have no right to take the hides, have no right to get the basar. But when it comes to the shalosh regalim, even though it's not their zman, they are allowed to come anyway and join and participate, and they will then get a portion of the hides. Melame shecholkin be'oros ubebasar si'irei chatois. The si'irei chatois was brought. That's the most. That carbon was brought the most. The si'irei chatois was brought every Rosh Chodesh, and was brought in every one of the moadim. Is the si'irei chatois? Yachal, I would think after the varim haboim shloim machmas regel going to midim. Umusve Shabbos, Unigar Mungavis, Tamulemar, Levad. No, that not Mim Korov al Ovis, Chutz, Mima, Shemachu, Ho Ovis. The fathers, they sold one another, Bine David, Ushmuel, Shemikbu, Hamishmarais, Umachu, Ze Laze. They sold one to the other, Tol Ata Shabbatcha, Vani Etol Shabbati. So here we're going back to the one who established the Mishmarais. Rashi says two people established the Mishmaris, David and Shemuel. If I'm not mistaken, the Gemara says there was more. There was another person. I think maybe was it Moshe before, or maybe it was Shlomo. I don't remember. Over here, he only mentions two people, David and Shemuel, which means originally, how many Mishmaros were there? I think there were originally eight in the time of Moshe. Along came David, he expanded it, I think, to 16. And then along came Shmuel, and he expanded it to 16. And then came David, and expanded it to 24. So the number of Mishmarais over time expanded. Now, when they made the Mishmarais, in essence, what they did was they made an arrangement. And they said, really, according to the letter of the law, I can come, any Kohen can come any day they want and participate. And at the end of the day, there are a collection of hides from the animal, which are the property of the Kohen. Those hides were worth a lot of money. And it was sold or used, and that's how the Kohen had parnasa. They would take the hides, and they would have parnasa. Likewise, they would eat the basar, have a meal. Free lunch, free dinner, kodshei kodashim. Anyone that brought a korban chatos, there was meat to be eaten. Kodshei kodashim is only by the kohanim, not by anyone else. So there was meat to be eaten, and there were hides to be distributed. So they made an arrangement. We can't operate as a hefkervelt, a free-for-all. Anyone who shows up, oh, I'm entitled. It's not going to work like that. We have to have a system. The system is, we're going to divide the people, the Kohanim, into the groups, into 8 groups, 16 groups, 24 groups, and there's a rotation. And on the week of the of this one's rotation, no one else is entitled. No one else has a right to take anything. And the compensation is, you don't step on my feet, I won't step on your feet. I'm not going to take away the hides from the korbanos on your week. And likewise, you will respect me on my week. You will not take away the hides of the korbanos when it's my turn. And this way, there was a division between the kohanim. That's what it means over here. Mimkor. It's like they sold the rights to one another. You take yours, I take mine. That we're calling here a act of mechira. So that they don't get to take because it's not their week. And that's what the pasuk over here means, is that when the kohanim come and they show up on the Sholosh Regalim and it's not their week, they are entitled anyway to take from the korbanos that are unique to the regel. But they're not entitled to take anything that's not unique to the regel, things they bring every day, the Tamei Shel Shachar, Tamei Shel Ben Arbayim, Shabbos, the Musaf of Shabbos. Those things are not unique to the regel. Those things are anyway brought every Shabbos and every day. And let's say a private person brings a korban, it's also not unique to the moed. So this that we're saying, that kohanim have a right to come on the regalim and participate and take a portion, that's only regarding elements of the korbanos that are unique to the regel. But anything that's not unique to the regel, like Shabbos and the musafim of the regalim, that if it's not unique, they have no right to touch. And that's called levad mimkorov al ha'avos. Every kohen has a father who has a father and a father, going back to the time of Moshe, the time of David, the time of Shlomo, the time of Shmuel and David, when they made the division. And at that time they made the division, the ancestors divided, made the system, and that system demanded that you mind your own business. If it's not my week, butt off, stay away. It's not, you're not entitled. Chelik yichelik yichelu, only with regard to what's the regel, levad. But what's not, they're not entitled to, is mimkarov, what they sold to one another, not today, going back to their ancestors, al ha'ovitz. Let's see the Rashi again. Chelik yichelik yichelu, melamed shecholkin bo'eretz, mevosar si'ir yichatas, chatois. Is when they establish Hamishmaras Vani etol Shabbati. You take your Shabbos, I'll take my Shabbos. What does the Targum say about this pasuk? Pasuk Ches, Chulok ki Chulok, Yechlun, they will eat. Bor except mimatarto. Now, what does that mean? Mimat mitar levad except bor mimatarto. That is diosa shabiso dechein askinu av hosa. And that's an amazing targum, because the targum over here is adding into the translation a lot of words. This is not typical. This is not the typical Targum, where the Targum comes to embellish the Pasuk with more words. Except for mi ta tarta. What is the word mi ta tarta? I know we have to see. Di yosa, they gave. He says the word Shabbos. This is the word Shabbos in the Pasuk. Di yosa, Shabbosa, that they gave over the Shabbos. The chain askinu, so it was established av hosa, by the fathers. Let's see what it says in the commentator, which unfortunately you don't have, but I'll read for you. Kechulak yechulak, chelek, chelek yechelu, fine, chutz, mishmeres shel oysa Shabbos. The mishmeres of that week, she'oz mischalfes ha-mishmeres v'ha-nechnoses le'techalik yemachedim, she'kein tikmu ho'ovis. Bar, except, let's see, mimatarta kavanosai mashaba machmasachag kigoy musafim priachag uchavasim ushok karbonas chalukim cholkim kolavishmoros shol beshove avomashaba shaloi machmasachag kigoy atmidim
So he's not really explaining the Bivar Mitarta. What's the word Mitarta? He just explained the Rashi so far. Kosev HaRitva, Mitzvah in the Torah, Lach like Mishmorois, Kidachsev Labar Mim Karov Avo Ois. Lachain Das Rambam Seva Mitzvahs, Avo Eloch Minin Min Atoira Kama Mishmorois in you, Umoisha Tikin Cheshi Muatim.
The Yosar of that Shabbos. But what's the translation of the word Mi-ma-tar-ta? What does that word mean? I can't find the translation here. Chelek Chelek Chutz the Mishmeres. Okay, Mi-tar-tar Kavdas Masha Bo Machmas Hachag. Yeah. But what does that word mean exactly? So let's see again the Targum. Is he coming to argue with Rashi or just agree with Rashi? Chulak ki chulak, portion per portion, yechulun, bar except, mi-ma-tarta, the mi-tarta means what has been, which, it just says, shebo machlas, the yosa of that Shabbos, levad, mi-mi-korov, Mi-mi-korov. It would appear, I don't know, I have to find out more, but it would appear that there is a machloikis between Rashi and Unkelus. This is what we're here for. We're here to make war. The more war we make in this kitchen, in Schmidman, the less war there is out there in the world. How does it say that? Because by having war in the world of Torah, no, it was Niskayim war. You don't have to have war in the real world. Chassid Shavar. When Meir and Rabbi Leiz Zabachi argue and learning, you just saved a whole country from going to war. So here we're making war between Rashi and Unkelus. Rashi translates the word mi-mi-korov to mean miloshen moicher, a mecher, a sale. I'll sell you something. How much does it cost? $100, $1,000. Or how else can you sell something? Barter. In ancient times, I mean, they write about this. How did they sell things? How did they sell something in ancient times? So it seems, if you go take study these history lessons, the concept of money is a new concept. It's a new concept. In ancient times, the only way you would sell was through trading. I have eggs, and you have chickens. I'll give you 20 eggs for one chicken. You have cattle, an animal, and I have a chvez, I have a whatever. I have a piece of wood, I have lumber. I'll give you some lumber and you give me an animal. There was no such thing as cash. It didn't exist. Cash is a new concept. It's a modern concept. When did cash come into this world? I don't know. It says by Avram Avinu they had cash. Arba meo shekel kesef oiver la soicher.
Right, so already in the time of Avram Avinu, they already had cash. Did they have cash in the time before the Mabul? I don't know. Did they have cash before Avraham? When did they have cash? When did it come? You know, you learn Yaakov Avinu. It says that Vayavo Yaakov Sholem. Yaakov Avinu came to Shechem. And it says there he did a favor. He went and he did a toiva. Hashem did a miracle. He survived the battle with the Malach, So to reciprocate, he did a toiva. What was the toiva? He was mesakein a matbea. So what does that mean? He made a coin. What, he minted a new coin? A new stamp with his picture on it? What does it mean, matbea? Parshat Shara means that until Yaakov Avinu came to Shechem, in Shechem, there was no such thing as currency. The way people conducted business was they traded assets. I have a lumber yard and you have cattle. I'll trade you lumber for cattle. You have eggs. I have fish. I'll trade you 10 eggs for a piece of fish. That's how they did things. There was no such thing as cash. It was a Nayazach. Yaakov Avinu introduced into the city of Shechem, he was mesakein a matbea. Okay, but yet, we know they already had coins. We know there was matbea, there was Avinu, he gave Arbamir shekel kesef. What does that mean? Maybe it wasn't cash. Maybe it was just pieces of silver, an asset. Okay, in America today, there's no such thing today. We live in a very bizarre world today. Today, a dollar, what is a dollar? It means nothing anymore. Nixon was the one who switched over from gold. A dollar was always backed by bars of gold. Nixon was the one that deviated. No longer should the dollar be pegged to gold in Fort Knox. That's why they're in the news. They're always hacking on the sugar. The whole day they hack. Buy gold. Why? Doomsday. Because those people who believe in conspiracy theories believe that the economy is going to collapse. And when the economy collapses, we're going to go back to ancient times. And ancient times, what are the commodities? Gold, silver, precious metals, gems. So, because the whole American system, we have a dollar. What is a dollar? Trust. I trust the American government. I have trust in the American government. Israel has a shekel. I trust. You trust in. It's a very bizarre concept. It's a very dangerous concept. There's nothing really real. That's what, you know, bitcoins, cryptocurrency. What is cryptocurrency all about? The cryptocurrency, there's no difference, zero difference between cryptocurrency and the American dollar after Nixon. It's all based on trust. The only difference is the American dollar is where you put your trust in the American government. Cryptocurrency is where you put your trust in every single person in the entire world that has this make-believe money and gives it a value. It's the American dollar is it's an amazing thing because America is, relatively speaking, a small country, even though there's a massive chunk of land, but there are only 340 million people in this country. In a world that has a population of 8 billion people. Cryptocurrency, and who do you trust? Anyone in the world that has a dollar bill, you put your faith in this country. Why? Because this country is a civilized country and there's a healthy economy. V'chulu v'chulu. Cryptocurrency is an amazing concept. It's an amazing concept where it's the same exact thing. You put your trust. But who do you put your trust in? Not in a government. Take away putting faith in a government and put your faith in your fellow man. And your fellow man is not limited to your neighborhood. It, due to technology, it's anyone in the world that has this currency. You put your faith in. There are two major differences between the dollar, the currency of a country, and the current and cryptocurrency. And it used to be in the olden days that there was a gold and silver, it was backed by gold and silver. Okay, so you're dealing with a davar sheyesh boy mamish. But I don't think there's any country today. There's no country today that has real assets. Everything today is based on trust. What do you value the government? Do you believe in the United States? Do you have faith in the government of the United States? Well, if you read these blogs and these channels, it's pretty scary what's going on. Do you read the news today? Well, they found out today about this government, this incredible government we live in. They discovered today this incredibly, very sophisticated article where they have a private cellular network band that connects every single voting station in the whole country. A secret communication network, a cellular network that is a secret network that connects all of the polling, the voting stations in the entire country that no one knew about. And the only one that has access to this is the government. And through this, you're able to know in real time who's winning the election. It's mind-boggling. A guy spent a year and a half doing this research to no end, and he revealed his findings, which is utterly shocking, which opens up the reality of how much fraud really goes into
this is a conspiracy theory.
It's not a conspiracy theory. This is today's headlines. In the mainstream media, they're going to suppress it. You want me to send you the article? I'll send you the article after the share. It's an amazing. You'll love this stuff. It's very technical. It's very, very technical. There's no proof that it was cheating. There's no proof it's cheating. The only proof that has been revealed was that there exists a network, a cellular network, on a special band. They describe it in very big details of a frequency that was not given to the public, that is basically connected all over the country to all the election stations, and it enables anyone that has access to this to know in real time who's winning. How come no one knew about it? And this cost them what it cost to develop this. They have AT&T, they have a whole, you got to read all the details. Doesn't say there was cheating, just says there just exists such a network. It was not revealed to the public. The amount of money that it costs to develop must be in the billions of dollars, taxpayer money, which no taxpayer even knows about. And what is the purpose of this anyway? For what purpose is this? And who's the one that started this? This is everything that she said, what she said on day number one. They fired her. Turned out everything that she said was true. That woman, Sydney, what did she say? That there's a woman, it was Trump's lawyer. Trump had a woman lawyer. And she said right away the election was stolen, and she said all this stuff, and she was immediately fired. No one knows Ariyamazeh why she was fired. Whatever she said turns out, you know, to be true. What did she say? She basically says that on Obama's eighth day in office, the CIA went into Obama. This is what she said publicly. She said this publicly on television. On the eighth day of that he was president, the CIA came into the Oval Office, and they told Obama all the secrets, all the garbage that goes on. And one of the things they told Obama is that all over the world, we decide who wins the election. We have our assets all over the world, and whenever there's an election in the country, we rig the machines to make it come out to our liking. So this is what she said. Believe it or not, it's all this concern. Obama said, do you do this also in the United States, here in this country? No, chas v'shalom. We do this all over third world countries. You know, the first developing democracy, we look at the candidates, they don't know the difference. We wouldn't do this in America. So Obama said, why not? This is what she said, and she was immediately fired and dismissed as a quack. And I think Sydney Powell, and you never heard about her ever again. Sydney Powell. Today, this guy released today begins to make you think, to wonder a little bit, what's really going on? It doesn't say there was any cheating. So how do we get into that? We got into that because there's a machlekes between the Unkelis and Rashi. Rashi says, it says to the word mimkorov. Mimkorov comes from the word mecher, to sell. each mishmar sold to the other mishmar his portion. Unkelis seems to disagree. The word mimkorov does not mean to sell. It's mimatarta. It sounds like a matara, a target, a portion. Besides the chelek that was set aside for each mishmar. According to the difference between the two is according to Rashi, originally we all get a portion. We all get a portion. But it was an arrangement that was done between us. According to the Targum, no, this was from day one. You didn't have to sell it. It was never yours to begin with. It's not like, okay, we made an arrangement. There's a Gezeres HaKosov, and in fact, this pasuk is teaching you this, that this is designated for you, and this is designated for you, and you don't touch this other person's property, territory. It's not yours. The word mimkarov, like a lashon of what you makir, recognize. You have to recognize your portion. Rashi explicitly says it's milashon mechira, a transaction. It's all of our portion. Everyone has a chelik. We're going to have an arrangement. I'll sell you this, and you sell me this back in turn. That's Rashi, lashon mecher. According to Unkelis, it's lashon hakorah. Besides what you recognize as yours, it was never meant for you to begin with. There's no need for there to be a sale, a transaction. The division goes much deeper than just it's all of us and we're going to split amongst each other. That's a chiddush, to say that there's such a machloek between Rashi and the Unkelis. That's a big chiddush. Okay, so we'll learn over here a few things tonight. Thank you for coming, Ablazer. Thank you for coming back and learning with us, because if not for you, me and Mayor, we just make up new conspiracy theories that don't exist. We make up new ones. Thank you for coming.
Just make the call. Good night.
Good night, good night. Take care. Good night, good night.